Picture the moment. 1989, Oslo, the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. While the world waited to celebrate him, the Dalai Lama's mind was elsewhere, on a leper colony in India that would receive his prize money. This wasn't a publicity stunt. It was simply who he is. Born to illiterate farmers in rural Tibet, this Buddhist monk has somehow become one of the most transformative voices of our age, influencing neuroscientists and CEOs, activists and educators. What makes his vision so magnetic isn't mysticism, it's practicality. He offers something our fractured world desperately needs, a roadmap for human flourishing that doesn't require you to believe anything, just to care. In an era of short-term thinking and tribal divisions, his message feels almost revolutionary. Compassion isn't weakness. It's the most powerful force we have. Watch him interact with anyone, world leaders, stagehands, journalists, and you'll notice something remarkable. He treats everyone exactly the same. No hierarchy, no performance. He views surface differences of ethnicity, nationality, religion, and gender as secondary to our essential sameness as human beings. If I go around and tell people I'm His Holiness the Dalai Lama, then I'm trapped in a prison, he says. Instead, he simply shows up as human, meeting human. We shower daily, yet rarely clean our minds. The Dalai Lama calls this emotional hygiene, managing destructive feelings with the same discipline as physical health. When news broke of the 2008 Chinese crackdown in Tibet, he practiced Tonglen, visualizing himself absorbing others' suffering and sending back compassion. Aaron Beck discovered that 90% of what we believe when angry is mental projection, not reality. Between trigger and reaction lies a gap. The practice is widening that gap. A Native American story the Dalai Lama loves, two wolves battle inside every heart, one violent, one compassionate. Which wins? The one I feed. In prisons, the Cultivating Emotional Balance program teaches inmates that anger can fuel protests against injustice rather than harm. Through guided contemplation, even hardened prisoners explored their inner lives. Compassion doesn't require religious faith. 3-month-old babies already prefer helpers over hinderers. The twist? The first beneficiary of compassion is the one who feels it. There's a helper's high, where brain circuits for pleasure activate when helping others. Compassion provides purpose, reduces fear, boosts confidence. Positive emotions strengthen immunity, while chronic negativity contributes to disease. The Dalai Lama's childhood fascination with watches in Lhasa's Patala Palace evolved into a lifelong partnership with science. He views science and spirituality as complementary, science offering impartiality, spirituality providing depth in understanding consciousness. When psychologist Kylie Hamlin presented research on 3-month-olds preferring nicer characters, he immediately questioned sample sizes and economic factors, surprising scientists with his methodological precision. This partnership yields remarkable results. Thubten Jinpa's compassion cultivation training reduces worry and increases happiness in Stanford studies. Research by Tanya Singer and Matthew Ricard reveals a crucial distinction. Empathy can lead to emotional exhaustion, while compassion activates positive brain circuits and builds resilience, particularly valuable for medical professionals facing burnout. The Dalai Lama emphasizes these scientific findings as ammunition for his message. If I say, be compassionate, people will think, of course he says that, he's the Dalai Lama. But if scientific evidence shows benefits, then it's more convincing. He's bridging ancient contemplative practices and modern empirical validation, making compassion training accessible to skeptics. The Dalai Lama's compassion demands action against injustice. Inspired by Nelson Mandela's lack of resentment after decades of imprisonment, he advocates transparency, fairness, and accountability as compassion's practical expressions. South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission showed how revealing painful truths prevents cycles of vengeance. His approach? Oppose wrongdoing without hating wrongdoers, separating act from actor. He calls the growing wealth gap totally immoral, tracing corruption to self-centeredness fostered by education focused on personal success over ethics. Research by Dr. Keltner reveals higher-status people make less eye contact and interrupt more, creating indifference to injustice. The Dalai Lama cites Gandhi, Mandela, and King as models who combined compassion with nonviolence. Nonviolence doesn't mean we passively accept injustice. We have to fight for our rights. He distinguishes laws from justice, noting corrupt governments defend injustices by claiming they followed rules. His vision? Shine light relentlessly, holding systems accountable while maintaining compassion for those within them. Traditional economics assumes we're rational, self-interested, profit maximizers. But neuroscience reveals different brain systems drive our decisions, not just reward-seeking circuits, but also threat networks and caring systems focused on connection. The Dalai Lama has long asked what a caring-driven economics would look like, favoring systems like Sweden's that balance entrepreneurial freedom with robust social support. Thomas Piketty's research confirms capitalism inherently enriches investors more than workers. By 2016, the 80 wealthiest people had net worth equal to the entire bottom half of humanity. While global capitalism has lifted millions from extreme poverty, the wealth gap widens relentlessly. The Dalai Lama argues capitalism must measure success by widespread well-being, not billionaires created. GDP ignores wealth inequality and environmental costs. Research confirms happiness depends more on relationships than income. Social enterprises like Prosperity Candle exemplify compassionate capitalism, creating refugee livelihoods while running profitable businesses. These B corporations legally prioritize social and environmental benefits alongside profits. Even large corporations embrace responsibility. Cisco deploys healthcare technology in underserved regions, while Unilever sources from 500,000 small farms in developing countries. Modern education lacks moral principles, producing students who pursue wealth tirelessly, without sufficient sleep, always busy, without compassion for others. The Dalai Lama frames education reform as central to his vision. Everyone's future depends on dealing with these problems. The method? Education. After his 2004 Vancouver visit, the Dalai Lama Center for Peace Plus Education brought social and emotional learning to 90% of British Columbia schools by 2013. A meta-analysis of 270,000 students found SEL programs increased positive behaviors by 10%, decreased problems like bullying by 10%, and raised academic achievement 11%. At Smith College Campus School, teacher Robbie Murphy used Moroccan clementines to teach second graders about global interconnection, having them trace the supply chain and mentally thank everyone involved. This strengthened focus, expanded caring, and introduced systems thinking. The Dalai Lama envisions this approach in universal education standards, taught from kindergarten through college. Keep your high standard of education, but it would be more complete if you also included something about warm-heartedness. We live in an age of discouragement, where news and social media make the world seem worse than ever. But the Dalai Lama challenges this with historical data. During the Stone Age, 10 to 20% of deaths were murders. Today, only 0.7% die violently, down from 1 in 5 to 10 deaths to 1 in 140. We're living in the most peaceful era of human history. Our distorted perception stems from media focusing on problems. What's wrong makes the news, what's fine does not. The Dalai Lama sees discouragement about slow progress as selfish, signaling lack of compassion. He urges long-term thinking, planting seeds for future generations, like Captain Cook, who planted Norfolk Island pines throughout the Pacific for future ship masts. His vision begins with internal transformation before extending outward. Start locally, develop an NGO, then connect nationally with others doing similar work. He values implementation over talk, encouraging action rather than waiting for top-down changes. Everyone can find a context where they make a difference, because the human community is nothing but individuals combined. The revolution starts with you, choosing compassion over indifference, connection over division, action over despair. Your bone is my bone. Your blood is my blood.